There is perhaps a good example in seeing how these traditions got fused in if you look at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a church that I can't stress enough was all important to Christians of the mid-12th century. That is the church where Jesus was buried. And the point of the miracle at the tomb, well known to all Christians. And that church had always been the holiest spot in Jerusalem and ultimately the holiest of holies when you went on to crusade. That was the one place you would go, even more than the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. That church goes back, the foundations of a basilican church are clearly still evident for the reign of Justinian. That is in the 6th century, and it goes back to an earlier Roman church of the 4th century. That church, which was a typical Byzantine-style basilican church, was destroyed. We don't know exactly what that means. It was heavily damaged in 1009 during a brief persecution by Mad Caliph al-Hakam, the Fatimid Caliph who claimed that he was God, or we're not quite sure what he claimed. Many of his followers broke off as Druze from the main Muslim sect. The church was rebuilt by architects from Basil II, and eventually from Constantine IX. And when it was rebuilt, it was redecorated in then-current Byzantine fashion. It also was a rather modest church. It's centered on the tomb itself. There was a rotunda constructed over it, and a series of Byzantine-style chapels, those private chapels I mentioned in the Church of the Pantocrator, were especially erected on the, which would be just to the south of the church, of the tomb. And all of this complex was refurbished in a Byzantine style of decoration, state-of-the-art mosaics. Well, when the city fell to the Crusaders in 1099, it was always intended that this church be reconstructed. And it took a number of decades to get that church built. It's one of the major projects undertaken by the kings of Jerusalem. And it is dedicated in 1149, which is a very significant date because it marked the 50th anniversary since the Christian recapture of Jerusalem. It's dedicated by Baldwin III at a time when he had attained his majority. It was also dedicated the year after the failure of the Second Crusade. And it was a remarkable demonstration to the Christian world that, although Edessa had been lost, nonetheless, all was well in Outremer. The church is a European-style church. It's a Romanesque church in its conception, and Romanesque church is always that long hallway type of church. It has a huge nave. The Byzantine chapels were actually demolished in order to make room for it. It is a huge public church. It's a pilgrim church. It intends to have large crowds. A choir is built. The apse is greatly extended. And furthermore, in building this large church, they also incorporated into the complex other types of sites. For instance, Calvary, the hill where Christ was crucified, the place of the anointing of Christ before he went to the final march. All of these other high tourist spots were brought into this great church. Yet at the same time, while it was more or less European in its overall conception, in its cloisters, its monastic buildings attached to it, it also had beautiful Byzantine-style mosaics, some of them going back to the time of Basil, many of them to Constantine IX. They were redecorated, they were augmented, and the church presented a really impressive mix of styles to any pilgrim coming in. It had the European Romanesque church, which would be familiar to most pilgrims. Anyone who'd been to a church like Viesole in southern France would see a Romanesque church, probably with the usual sculptural art that you would associate with the European church and is not in the Byzantine tradition. And yet at the same time, when you entered, you also got this mix of Byzantine decoration. And this came to characterize probably a great deal of the churches across Outremer. If we just had more information, we would know it better. So many of the churches were damaged later. There's also an impressive mix of style that occur in that the Gothic forms are received in Outremer. You get abbeys such as the Belmont Abbey outside of Tripoli that shows both mix of style. And at the same time, the kings of Jerusalem and the other princes in Outremer are more than eager to promote the development of all church construction. You have to remember, when the Crusaders occupied Outremer, the protected Christian communities had really not been in a position to build any kind of monumental churches for 300 years. And there is a great surge in building activity. And many of these are Byzantine-style churches or East Syriac or Armenian, Anadzarba, or classical on Adzarbis, a city in Cilicia, has a marvelous Georgian church on top of its citadel with the usual Crusader castle architecture. So all of these architectural traditions were encouraged and developed. There's a variety of architecture, of decoration available to any visitor in Outremer. And in a way, this magnified the universality of the Christian message. All of these people were combined and united into that single faith of Christ, and all of these churches and monuments were now made available for the pilgrims coming from Western Europe.